Well, good morning, Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us while we praise God this morning and get into His Spirit and His Word. Come on. We have a new song. I'm a little fond of it. I'm sure you'll be able to tell in a few moments. But I want you to try and sing along this morning. I want you to give God praise. If you know Him as your Lord and Savior, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I want you to shout out a praise this morning. I want you to thank Him this morning. Come on. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, all this bag of bones. I tried with all my mind, and I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, all this bag of bone. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. Because he beat me, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because He healed my heart. My name forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Burden and bitterness. You can just keep it moving. No, you're not welcome here. Okay, let's sing it. And until I walk the streets of gold, sing of how You saved my soul. His wayward son has found His way back home. 'Cause He picked me up, He turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because He healed my heart, changed my name, ever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so this morning. Come on and shout out a praise if you got something to thank Him about. If He woke you up, He healed you, He redeemed you. Come on, saved your soul. Let's sing it out.
I lost another one.
Give Him a shout of praise if you're so excited about your redemption this morning. He saved you from death, sin, and the grave. Come on and give Him a shout of praise.
Because He picked me up, He turned me around, He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because He healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. can do it for you. He set me free, yeah. Oh, I'm redeemed. You know what he told me? He said, get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Come on. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Come on.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
To those troubles.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Get up,
get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Sing it out.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Speak life. Spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy that means what he does for another, he can do it again. The spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy that means what he does for another, he can do it again. He can do it again. He can do it again. Oh, he said, get up, get up, get up. He's saying it to you.
Get up out of that grave.
Come on.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Over your dream.
Things
you thought were dead. He's calling them to life. Come on, sing it out.
Get up, get up, get up.
Hey.
Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Because he healed my heart.
We're
free. I'm not the same.
I thank the master. I thank the savior.
Because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Amen. Come on, put your hands together, guys.
Shout of praise, we celebrate King of.
Thank you. Just worship with me. The song takes me straight to heaven. It did in the rehearsal, and so many blessings. Yeah. Just sing along with me. Let your heart go, let your voices go, and just take it all the way to heaven. You are here, woven in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Come on and sing it with me. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, many lives of I worship you. I worship you. You are here.
Thank you.
that we just were singing, right? Waymaker, miracle worker. And I love that even when we can't see that he's working, he's still working, right? This is a time in our service where we have the opportunity to have a time of prayer, and we're going to have a praise report. Dolores, come on up here. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe it, not just we believe it because the word says it first of all, but that God answers prayer, but we believe it because we've seen God move. Anybody seen God move in their life? Amen. Come on up here. Dolores gave us a testimony this week, and I wanted her to just share it with you. Tell us what happened.
Oh my God. I wrote it down because I wanted to make it very brief. This is about my brother. And this is about the power of prayer. And prayer in faith. Because the Lord honors our faith. Okay, so I'm looking for this now. Praise the Lord. All honor to the Lord Most High. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is everything that the scripture says that he is. We believe that. We believe the word of the Lord.
Dolores is going to tell us a story about her, what happened this week with her brother in Honduras. And you got it? You got it?
Yes. I want to give God all the glory for all his goodness. Jesus is Lord. Last Sunday, March 17th, I got the terrible news. My family in Honduras notified me that my brother-in-law had died of COVID-19. This was a 55-year-old man, full of life. And they also said that my brother had been admitted to a private clinic with coronavirus symptoms. At the clinic, they ran some COVID tests, which came out negative. But because my brother had the symptoms, they said that the clinic did not have the capabilities and transported him to the hospital instead. Upon arrival, he was put in the intensive care unit of COVID-19 patients. In that room, all the patients in there are completely isolated. His cell phone was taken away, and there was absolutely no family visits anymore. That same Sunday, when I got the news, I texted our pastor, Pastor Steve. He called me back. We prayed in faith. We prayed in faith. In faith, we prayed. And we believed God. The following days, I celebrated God's power and love. And the fact that as Jesus taught all believers, he always hears my prayers. And trusting that my brother Tulio was going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's right. That's right. A living testimony. Well, 2 days later, Tuesday now, and after additional testing, Tulio was sent home. Okay, he was sent home. I spoke to him on Wednesday, and he spoke of how sick he felt. And upon arrival, he saw our brother-in-law in there, in that same room. And the torture of being in that room with all the COVID patients, how they all cried in anguish of terrible pain. As he could, he tried encouraging our brother-in-law, but he would only look at Tulio and not say a word. the continued crying every night was pure torment. Suddenly, he saw people coming in the room, bringing a coffin. And he realized our brother-in-law had died. And so after he witnessed one by one, these patients were going out, but dead. He said he had experienced uttermost hopelessness during all those 7 days and nights. And I made it clear that it was God. It was God who healed him. And I asked him if he wanted to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart. And he said, yes, yes. So we prayed the prayer of faith, the prayer of salvation. And he is going to church soon and stand up for God and give his testimony that Jesus Christ heals today. And we are walking testimonies of this. Jesus is the Lord of our life. Amen.
Good job. Thank you, God. Praise God. Praise God. There's all kinds of circumstances that we face or people around us face. But I want us to have the confidence that whatever it is, we can go to the Lord. We can go to the Lord on our own behalf, and we can go to the Lord on behalf of other people. And the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, right? And so right now, I want to give an opportunity. We're going to have our prayer team at the front here. They're full of faith. They want to join their faith with yours. They want to pray with you. Whatever it is, if you're in this building and you have a need, if it's in your family, if it's in your finances, if it's physical, if it's depression, whatever it is that you're facing, don't do it alone. Come and let somebody pray with you. But those that are watching online, I'm going to pray a prayer today. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, because I believe that God meant what he said, and that the word of God still works today, and that the anointing of God is transferable, and that there's no distance in prayer. And so right now, I just release my faith, and I pray right now, wherever you're watching, just lift your hand and say, Father, this is what I need. And Father, you see those hands, you see those lives, you see those needs. I just release faith right now. I join my faith with them. I speak healing. I speak wholeness. I speak peace instead of depression. I command all oppression to go in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the miracles. You are the way maker, the miracle worker, miracles working in their lives in the name of Jesus. And so we're going to sing one more song. And as we do, if you need prayer, come on forward. If you don't, let's worship God. We sang it that when we worship God, you know, our praise goes up. The atmosphere changes. And so we want to prepare our hearts to receive the word of God. Just get into his presence. Forget about everything else. Let's worship him with this final song.
Father, I just thank you right now for your presence in this place. We worship you, God. We give you praise and honor in this place. All across this room, I just encourage you to raise your hands, lift up your hands before him, lift up your hearts before him, and receive. Just pour out your worship to him. Thank you, Lord.
All on the altar, surrendered again. Freely I lay down my everything. This is my honor, the gift that I bring, and I will be a sacrifice all my heart. just want to bless you. Whatever it takes, with my mind and my body, my spirit and strength. And if you are a fire, send me a blaze.
Sing it with us. I'll give you all my worship. Fall fire.
Fall fire.
come consume it. I'll give you, give you of my worship. If all,
let your spirit come.
We give you all,
let your spirit come.
We worship you. We praise you, Lord.
Can you feel the spirit in this room? Do you feel the anointing in this room? Hallelujah. Come on and lift up your praise. Lift up your adoration. Hallelujah. Spirit, come in this room this morning. Hallelujah.
We give you all our worship. We give you all our praise, Lord.
God, we just give you all our praise this morning. I want you to shout out a praise this morning. I want you to give him glory this morning.
And we bless you, we praise you.
I feel breakthrough in the room. I feel breakthrough in the room. I feel things that were stopped that you thought would break. I feel breakthrough in this room this morning. Hallelujah.
I will be all my heart and soul to glory. Come on, sing it out. I will be a living sacrifice.
All my heart and soul to glorify.
I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ. One more time. I will be.
And I will be a living sacrifice.
Come on. Tell the Lord, you give him it all. I give you all, Lord.
To glorify, I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
So beautiful. Isn't that a beautiful song? We're singing from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And verse 1 and 2, we're singing the word of God. We're singing, presenting ourselves before him. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just take a moment, greet somebody around you, and you may be seated. Thank you. Sounds good, guys. Aren't these musicians phenomenal? Give them a hand. Come on. Come on, let's make it sound like we enjoy our worshipers, right? We had a dinner with the band on Thursday night, and what a pleasure it is to have people that get up on this platform, that love the Lord with all their heart, that want to use, the musicians are, and the singers, extremely talented. Many of them use Carly, Muff on the drums, Leslie, they use their gift, and that's their profession. And that's how, you know, they're that skilled, and we're so blessed to have them, that they want to worship God first, amen? And Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you've joined us. And we welcome all those who are watching from around the world. People watch online from everywhere, which is really interesting because, you know, you can reach people within a geographical area with a location like this. But with the internet, with Facebook and with our app and with YouTube, we can reach, and our website, we can reach around the whole world. And it's amazing that we do. And so welcome to you. If you are watching online, just comment where you're watching from. We'd like to just greet you. If you haven't downloaded our app, go ahead and download it because that really enables you to just watch anything at any time. So does YouTube. Fortunately, you can do that on Facebook too. You can go back and watch. We do it. You can go back and watch a message from before. But just want to welcome you all. So glad that you are in church today. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? If you're here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you. We'd just like to hand you a guest card, a visitor pack. If you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone for the first time? I don't see any hands, but maybe Spring Forward Day is not the day to bring visitors to church, right? They're like, I think I'll come next week. So next week we'll have all our guests, right? Just want to remind you that if you don't receive, does anybody not receive our text from the church? If you don't receive the text, just text to 313131 and you text the word ascend and then it will immediately link you and give you some weekly updates as to what's coming up. So we appreciate that. And I want to give you the four main purposes of our church. First of all is to help people to know God. Second of all, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference in the world. Amen. That's what everything we do is based around. And so our message today, Pastor Steve, I know he has something from the heart of God. He's always praying, always believing God. What is it you want me to say to them? So we are looking forward to that. Amen. Wonderful. And anytime. Thank you, my dear. Praise God. I love being in church. We're ready for you. I love being in church. We did. I did all of them. Yes. Yes. Yes, love. Yes. I didn't forget what to do. I did all of it. I did everything.
I can't believe you're waiting on me. I thought you were waiting on somebody else. You're all done so fast. Are you sure you did everything?
It wasn't fast.
All right. It seemed fast to me. Praise God. Good morning. Tell your neighbor, well done. Getting here today. This is like one of the most challenging Sundays as a pastor, you know, because it's that spring forward. It's that time change. And, you know, I've been praying for years that we'll change it to a Monday instead of a Sunday. It kind of tells you how important Sundays is in America, the fact that we change the time on Sunday, not on Monday, right? But well done that you got here today. I don't know what it was with me. I don't know if it was the whole knowing I've got to get up earlier, but I had a hard time sleeping last night. But praise the Lord, you're here today. And it's going to be great, isn't it? Wonderful. I like that song, man. Everybody wants to rule the world, huh? I'm going to be preaching on rule your world. Not today. Next time. You may want to have to repeat that song. Everybody wants to rule your world. Anyway, you know, how many of you know we're just 3 weeks away from Easter? Easter is on April the 4th, the first Sunday of April. Do you have our Easter graphic up there while I'm talking about Easter? That's the time you pop it up there while I'm talking about Easter, 3 weeks away. The reason I'm telling you is because I want you to start thinking about who are you going to invite to the Easter service. Who are you praying about? Who are you going to bring? Who are you going to invite to Easter? You know, Easter, it is so important to us Christians, because it's the day we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And you know, Christianity is all about the resurrection. Christianity, that's what the heart of Christianity is, the resurrection of Jesus. That's what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. Because last time I checked, Muhammad is still dead. Buddha's still dead. Confucius is still confused. But Jesus is alive. We went to his tomb. It's empty. There's nobody there. He's been raised. And that's what separates Christianity from all the other different religions. And I want to encourage you that, you know, let's have a huge Easter this year. Let's give the devil a black eye. And let's have a great big Easter this year. It's just 3 weeks away. By thinking about who you're going to invite, who you're going to bring this Easter Sunday. Amen. Do we have our membership certificates, Monique? Not ready. Well, we just had a whole lot of people that finished the Christian Growth Seminar. Raise your hand if you were on the Christian Growth Seminar. Just hold up your hand for me. We had a whole lot of people just finished the Christian Growth Seminar. We had a great class, and we've got a whole lot of people becoming members, but I'm not sure if they got everything ready for today. Maybe we'll do it later on. We can do it later on in the service. We'll get into God's Word today. What do you say? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence here today. Ah, Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you, Lord, your Word is alive. Your Word is powerful. Your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you, Lord, today that you anoint your Word. As it goes forth from my mouth, I thank you that you carry your word, Lord, by your anointing to every person's mind, to every person's heart, that you bring understanding, you bring revelation, you cause faith to rise up in our heart. You remove all doubt and unbelief, Lord. We give you all the praise for everything that will be said and for everything that will be done today, Lord. We thank you that you are the faithful God. You are the faithful one, Lord. Your faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting. And I thank you today, Lord, that you instill within us and you are working in our life that we would be faithful, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We'd love to have you come visit our church. I promise you, our friendly people will... What does that mean? I've got to do it again. Why? All righty, hit record. Go. I'll do it again. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you discovered that before I was 30 minutes in. They wouldn't have liked me to start again from the beginning. Are we ready? Praise the Lord. Give our media team a big round of applause back there. Will you do that? We had a great time yesterday. We had a barbecue with our media team yesterday. And we appreciate them. They do a wonderful job. When you watch our television program on Fox 29 on Sundays at 7:30, you got to understand that we produce that program on a shoestring budget. I mean, literally. And it looks really great. We have volunteers that film film the services for us, and we have a professional company does the editing. But I think they do a great job, and we appreciate them, don't we? Praise God. Are you ready? Are we ready now? Hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We'd love to have you come visit our church. I promise you, we have the friendliest people. They'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have great fun at Ascend Kids Church, and we hope that we'll see you soon. Don't we, everybody? Yes. Now, today, I want to speak about stand out to God. Stand out to God. You want to know the kind of person that stands out to God. The scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, for the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Now, that's the King James, the New King James Bible, the easy-to-read version says, those who are faithful to him. And the contemporary English version says, those who faithfully obey him. So the Bible says that God is, his eyes are searching throughout the earth, and he's looking to show himself strong on behalf of those who are faithful or who faithfully obey him. That's who stands out to God. Can I tell you who stands out to God? Faithful people. That's what God is looking for, faithfulness. God shows himself strong on behalf of the faithful. In fact, the Living Bible says it like this, the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth looking for people whose hearts are perfect or faithful toward him so that he can show his great power in helping them. The Bible says God wants to show his great power in helping, but he's looking for those who are faithful to him. God blesses the faithful. God protects and promotes and uses those who are faithful to him. And the word faithful, if you look it up, it means to be loyal. It means to be steadfast in your affection, your allegiance. It means to be firmly fixed in place, to be immovable, not subject to change, but firm in your belief, in your determination, and in your adherence. To be faithful means to be conscientious. It means to be reliable. It means to be constant. It means to be unwavering, to be devoted, to be trustworthy, to be steady, to be of long continuance, to be unswerving in your commitment to a person or to the Lord. And, you know, the Bible talks about God's faithfulness in so many places. In Psalm 89, it says, where is there any other mighty one like you? Faithfulness is your very character. God is faithful. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, the Bible says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. God is faithful. When God says he'll do something, he does it. Even when it seems impossible. When God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Because if it was not the case, then if God was unfaithful even one time, he wouldn't be God. We couldn't rely on his promises. But the scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 8, in verse 56, not one word has failed of all the good promises that he gave through his servant Moses. Not one of God's promises have ever failed. You can depend, you can trust in God. He is faithful. He is reliable. Amen? He's eternally reliable. He's eternally steadfast. He's eternally unwavering. Faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. God doesn't have to try to be faithful. God is faithful. That's who he is. In fact, Psalm 100 verse 5 says he is famous for his faithfulness toward all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. He's famous for his faithfulness. Everybody knows God can be trusted. Amen? You know, the Bible says that we are to be like him. We are to imitate the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 1, be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. Say this, God wants me to imitate him. And that means that we too must be faithful. If we're to imitate God and he's faithful, then we ought to be faithful. God expects us to be faithful to him. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Paul said, we are stewards of God, and it's required that a steward be faithful. In fact, the Passion Bible says, the most important quality of one entrusted with such secrets is that they are faithful. The most important quality is that we would be faithful. And the contemporary English version says our first duty is to be faithful to the one that we work for. Family, our most important duty in life is to be faithful unto the Lord. God requires us to be faithful. It's the most important quality He's looking for. That's who stands out to Him. Yet so many Christians are not faithful. You know why God is searching throughout the earth looking for faithful people? Because faithful people are hard to find. That's why. Faithful people are a rare breed. The scripture says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, many a man proclaims his own loyalty and goodness. But who can find a faithful and trustworthy man? The Message Bible says lots of people claim to be loyal, but where on earth can you find one? And the Good News Translation says everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try and find someone who really is. It is hard to find faithful people. Faithful and loyal people are hard to find. Yet faithfulness and loyalty are the qualities that God values and that God is searching for. That's the one He blesses. That's the one He shows Himself strong for. That's the one He promotes. That's the one He protects. That's the people that God uses, faithful people. In Hebrews 3, verse 2, it says that Jesus was faithful to God, who appointed Him high priest, just as Moses also faithfully served in God's house. Jesus was faithful. Moses was faithful. Moses grew up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But the scripture says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his great reward. What reward? We're going to be rewarded in eternity for our faithfulness to God, family. Jesus spoke about this in Luke chapter 19. He illustrated it with a parable. He told about a wealthy prince who left the land to travel to a distant land where he would be crowned king, and then he would return. And he called his 10 servants together, and he entrusted each of them with $50,000. He told them to trade with it and invest with it until he returned. And when he returned, he summoned them together to see what they'd done. And the first one said, "Master, I invested what you gave me. I've multiplied it 10 times over." And the king said to him in Luke 19, verse 17, "Well done, you have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you. As your reward, you shall be governor of 10 cities." And the second servant multiplied it 5 times. The king made him governor over 5 cities. But the third servant said that he hid the money in the ground. He wasn't faithful. He didn't invest it. And the king called him a wicked servant. And he said to him in Luke 19, verse 23, "Why didn't you at least put my money in the bank to earn some interest on what I entrusted to you?" The king said to his other servants, "Take the money that he has and give it to the faithful servant who multiplied my money 10 times over." He said, "But master," the other servants objected, "why give it to him? He's already got so much." "Yes," replied the king, "but to all who have been faithful, even more will be given to them, and the ones who have nothing, even the little they seem to have, will be taken from them." See, our faithfulness determines our rewards, not just in this life, but in eternity. God rewards and God blesses and God promotes and God protects those who are faithful to Him. If there was anyone who was faithful, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, he endured more than we can ever imagine. And he never quit. He never wavered. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, "I've worked much harder for God. I've taken more beatings. I've been dragged to more prisons than they. I've been flogged excessively multiple times, even to the point of death." He said, five times I received 39 lashes from the Jewish leaders. Five times. Three times I experienced being beaten with rods. Once they stoned me. Three times I've been shipwrecked. For an entire night and day, I was adrift in the open sea. In difficult travels, I faced many dangerous situations, perilous rivers, robbers, foreigners, even my own people. I've survived deadly peril in the city, in the wilderness, with storms at sea, and even with spies posing as believers. I've toiled to the point of exhaustion, and I've gone through many sleepless nights. I've frequently been deprived of food and water. I've left hungry and been shivering in the cold, lacking proper clothing. I mean, Paul stayed faithful despite all these things that he went through, being lashed and being beaten, being put in prison. All these things, he remained faithful. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he said, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race, and I have remained faithful. I have remained faithful, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. To all who have been faithful, let me tell you, there are rewards and there are prizes that God has waiting for us, for those who've been faithful. I mean, you talk about being faithful. Paul wrote this while he was in prison. Paul went through more for the gospel than any of us ever will. And yet he continued and remained faithful. Today, Christians get discouraged and quit because they didn't get the car they wanted. They didn't get the promotion they wanted. Because they didn't get this, they didn't get that. I mean, people get offended. They stop going to church over the smallest things. That's not being faithful. Faithful people, let me tell you, they refuse to quit, man. God is looking for faithful people. Those are the people he promotes, he blesses, he uses faithful people. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul said the reason that God put me in the ministry and the reason God used him was because God counted him as faithful. I want to tell you right now, God looks for faithful people to use. If you're faithful in small things, God knows he can trust you in big things. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus said, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you haven't been faithful with your money, how's God going to entrust greater riches and more important things with you? Let me tell you, in the Passion Bible, it says it like this. It says, the one who manages the little that he has with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little that they've been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you've not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal riches of the spiritual world? If you can't be faithful with the dollar God gave you, let me tell you, I ain't going to trust you to look after cities in the future to come, in the world to come. Are you with me? When you're faithful with what God gives you, then he'll give you more. But if we're not faithful stewards with the money God's given us, God will not trust us with greater responsibilities. If we're not faithful to tithe on every dollar that we get, then God will not promote us. You know, people say, well, I tell you what, Pastor Steve, if I ever won the lottery, I promise you I'll come and tithe. Listen, if you're not tithing now, please don't try and convince me or bluff me that you tithe if you won $1 million. If you can't tithe on $100, you ain't never going to tithe $1 million, baby. Let me tell you, if you won the lottery, that's the last time we'd ever see you in church. God's looking for faithful people. Those are the people that stand out to him. Those are the ones he promotes, he blesses, he uses, faithful people. Amen. Proverbs 28, verse 20. It says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. A faithful woman will abound with blessings. The Passion Bible says, life's blessings drench the faithful person. And the Contemporary Version says, God blesses his loyal people. Amen. The faithful person, you want to know how to abound in the blessings of God? Be faithful to God. Many businesses today offer rewards and benefits to their loyal customers. Do you know God values and rewards loyalty and faithfulness as well? Being faithful is the key to abounding in the blessings of God. But faithfulness and loyalty are a rare quality today. The sad reality is that faithful people are hard to find. Today, more than ever, we live in a quitting society. People quit over everything. If they don't like school, it's too hard, they quit. If they don't like the job or they have some pressure at their job, they quit. Anything creates any kind of pressure, they want to just give up. Something happens at church they don't like, and they quit going. Unfortunately, many people in church today are not faithful. They quit when things don't go their way. I can't tell you how many people have told me, Pastor Steve, I'm telling you, I'm with you, Pastor Steve. I'm behind you, Pastor Steve. I'll never leave you, Pastor Steve. I'm so glad the Lord brought me to Ascend Church, Pastor Steve. Then 6 months later or a year later, they leave the church. They won't even return my phone call. They won't even return my text. Listen, we're supposed to have a different spirit. We're supposed to have an excellent, an extraordinary spirit like Daniel had. The Bible says Daniel had a different spirit. In Daniel 6, verse 3, Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole region. And the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel. But they couldn't find no charge or any fault. Why? Because Daniel was faithful. See, that's what made Daniel have that excellent spirit, an extraordinary spirit, because he was faithful. He was faithful in all circumstances. Even though Daniel had been taken captive from his land, he'd been taken to Babylon, he still remained faithful to God. He refused to compromise on his faith. He stood out from the crowd. You couldn't get Daniel to quit. I mean, he wouldn't quit when they threw him in a lion's den. They told him, if you don't stop praying, we're going to throw you in a den of lions. And he carried on praying three times every day, man. Let me tell you, today, it doesn't take a lion's den to get some Christians to quit. All you need is the shadow of a lion. That's enough, man. Just the roar of a lion is enough to make him quit. Like we were talking about this at the barbecue the other day. Someone said they live in the Acreage? Where is it? Acreage, and they have that McCarthy's little zoo, a wildlife private zoo. We've been there. Anyway, I think Miguel lives near, and he said, I could hear these lions roaring at night. You know, you can hear a lion from like 2 miles away. We used to have a friend in South Africa. He lived right behind the lion park, and he was American, and he'd have American friends come visit, and he'd tell them they'd hear the lion roar, and he said, they're out in the street. Don't go out. There's lions in the street. He was just having fun with them. But let me tell you, some Christians, you don't have to throw him in a lion's den. Just play a recording of a lion roaring, and that's enough to make him quit, man. Tell your neighbor, I'm not a quitter. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be loyal. Because let me tell you, God's looking for faithful people, family. And faithfulness is not measured in days, weeks, months, but in years. You've got to prove yourself faithful. Will you be faithful in the adversity? God wants to see your faithfulness before he promotes you, before he blesses you. The Bible says in Psalm 31, verse 23, the Lord preserves the faithful. And the Passion Bible says the Lord protects and preserves all those who are loyal. God protects those who are faithful. Faithfulness is an honorable quality that will bring blessing. It will bring promotion. It will bring success in your life. The people that God used in the Bible, they were all faithful. Joseph was faithful. Joseph was loyal. Amen. God gave Joseph a dream when he was a teenager. It didn't come to pass overnight. It took 15 years before it happened. But he remained faithful to God even though he went through much adversity, much disappointment. Because faithfulness brings blessing. It brings promotion. That's faithfulness is what God is looking for. When God finds that quality in your life, let me tell you, he'll cause you to abound with blessing. You want to abound in the blessing of God, then determine that you're going to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. Determine no matter what comes your way, no matter what adversity comes your way, you're going to remain faithful to the Lord. Amen. David was faithful. David was anointed to be king when he was 15 years old. But David didn't become king until he was 30 years old. He had to be faithful with sheep before he could be promoted to be king. You've got to be faithful in little before God will promote you over much. David was faithful and loyal to King Saul, even though King Saul tried to kill him For 13 years, King Saul tried to kill David. But David refused to harm Saul. David had two opportunities that he could have killed King Saul. The first is in 1 Samuel chapter 24, when David and his 600 mighty men, they were staying in a cave in Gedi, it's called. It's near the Dead Sea. We went to see it when we went to Israel. And King David went into the cave, the Bible says, to relieve himself. Excuse me. King Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. And David's men told him God had delivered his enemy Saul into David's hand, but David refused to harm Saul. He could have. And he said in 1 Samuel 24, verse 10, look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord has delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. David's speaking to King Saul. He said, but my eyes spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. David had a second opportunity to kill King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 26, when Abishai crept into King Saul's camp while they were sleeping at night, and David again refused to harm the Lord's anointed. They escaped without anyone seeing them. David climbed on a hill opposite King Saul's camp, and he shouted to King Saul's men, and he told them what he did. And when King Saul heard it, and he asked if it was David, David said, yes, why are you chasing me? What have I done? What wrong have I ever done? Saul admitted he was wrong, and he told David that he wouldn't try and hurt him anymore. And I love how David replied to him in 1 Samuel 26. He said, may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Let me tell you, David knew exactly what he was doing. David knew he had every right to kill King Saul, but he said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I'm going to spare you, because I know God will spare me. If you read the New Living Translation, it says it like this. The New Living Translation says, the Lord gives his own reward for doing good and for being loyal, and I refuse to kill you, even when the Lord placed you in my power, for you are the Lord's anointed one. Now may the Lord value my life, even as I value yours today. May he rescue me from all my troubles. Let me tell you, David was faithful to God. And David was faithful to God's anointed, to King Saul. Think about that. David was the one who killed Goliath when Saul was hiding in his tent and they didn't know what to do. David came and killed Goliath, and Saul promoted him, and they started singing David's praises, and King Saul didn't like the fact that the people were praising David and singing about David, so he became jealous, and that's why he tried to kill King Saul. In 1 Samuel 22, verse 14, it says, Abimelech answered the king. He was speaking to King Saul, and he said, who among all your servants is as faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law, who goes at your bidding and is honorable in all your house? He said to the king, there's nobody as faithful to you as David is. Let me tell you, a faithful person is faithful to God, but he's also faithful to the authority and the leaders that God has put in their life. Paul spoke about Timothy's faithfulness in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, for this reason I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of all my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. The contemporary version says, I love him like a son. He's a faithful servant of the Lord. Timothy will tell you what I do to follow Christ and how it agrees with what always I teach about Christ in every church. Now, Paul called Timothy his son in the Lord. He said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 22, you already know about his excellent reputation since he has served alongside me as a loyal son in the work of the ministry. Paul said that Timothy has served alongside me as a loyal and faithful son in the ministry. And also that he was a faithful servant of the Lord. Amen. You know, Pastor Theo, I got saved at Pastor Theo's church, Christian Family Church in Johannesburg, South Africa, when I was 16 years old. And I started listening to the Word of God. I started listening to cassette tapes. I had a little Walkman, and I would, when I went to the gym, I put on Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Jerry Savelle. One day I was listening to Jerry Savelle. I was in the gym, and he was telling how the Lord sent him to work for Kenneth Copeland, and the Lord told Jerry Savelle, I want you to stick to Kenneth Copeland like glue. And when I heard, as I was exercising at the gym at 16 years old, and I heard that, I felt the Lord speak in my heart. He said, I want you to stick to Pastor Theo like glue. That was 40 years ago. Let me tell you right now, I'm still, Pastor Theo's my pastor. The enemy tried many times to separate me and Pastor Theo. The enemy tried to come between our relationship. The enemy tried to cause other people to bring division between us. But I want to tell you right now, God told me to stick to Pastor Theo, and I've continued to do that. And I want to, Pastor Theo affectionately used to call me, sometimes he'd call me his Timothy. He'd say to people, if you want to know how to be faithful, just watch Steve Barry. Not everybody liked that, because he said, I knew every Sunday, three services on Sunday, I knew where Steve would be sitting right there. Every service, I knew where he'd be. He said, if you want to know how to be faithful, just watch Steve Barry. Didn't win me a lot of friends in saying that. But Paul said this about the Christians in Macedonia, the Apostle Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, he said, they exceeded our expectations by first dedicating themselves fully to the Lord and then to us according to God's pleasure. See, the Bible says they dedicated themselves to the Lord, and then he said they dedicated themselves to us. God wants us to be dedicated and faithful to Him, and He wants us to be faithful and dedicated to the leaders that God puts in our life. Amen. Amen. God blessed and He favored and He used David because David was so faithful. Some people may not think of David as faithful because he committed adultery and then murder. But God said this about David in Acts chapter 13. God removed Saul. And he replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything that I want him to do. Do you know, just because you messed up and made a mistake doesn't disqualify you from being faithful. I thank God for his mercy. Because you see, David repented. And he went on to fulfill God's will for his life. And he's still called the greatest king that Israel ever had. He was faithful to God. Amen. I've spoken about faithful people that we know, like Moses and David and Joseph and Daniel and the Apostle Paul. But the Bible mentions some faithful people that you may not have ever heard of. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, it says, Tychius, who is a much-loved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work, will tell you about how I'm getting along. In Colossians 1, verse 7, he said, you learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He's Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. In Colossians 4, verse 8, he said, I'm sending Onesimus. He is a faithful and much-loved brother. Now, these men may be unfamiliar to most people, but faithfulness, even in small matters, is known and rewarded by God. Let me tell you right now, if there's one quality that seems to be lacking in our world today, it's loyalty and faithfulness. The words respect, honor, duty, integrity, we don't hear that much anymore. Many people, sadly today, many people are out for themselves. They don't stick up for their family or friends. They'll stab someone in the back to get ahead. They'll think nothing of criticizing people or bad-mouthing their boss or bad-mouthing their church or bad-mouthing their country. They don't keep their commitments. You can't depend on them. They tell you one thing and then they don't back it up. They'll pack up and leave their company of 10 years because they got a better offer somewhere else. It all boils down to a lack of loyalty. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. In Proverbs 21, verse 21, it says, people who try hard to do good and be faithful will find life, goodness, and honor. Those who try hard and striving to be faithful, the New American Standard Bible says, he who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. The New Century Version says, whoever tries to live right and be loyal finds life, success, and honor. There are blessings and rewards for being faithful and for being loyal. Do you notice how righteousness and loyalty go together? In other words, if we're not being loyal to God and to our family and to our friends, to our company, to our country, to our church, we're not going to experience God's best in our life. God rewards loyalty and faithfulness. When you're loyal, let me tell you, you stick with somebody through thick and thin. When you're loyal, you keep your word even when it hurts. People can count on you. The psalmist said this when he was speaking about a faithful person in Psalm 15. It says, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, if I tell you I'm going to do something, even if it's going to cost me, I'm going to keep my word. The New Living Translation says they keep their promises even when it hurts. And let's back up and read it from verse 1. From the Passion Bible, Psalm 15, it says, Yahweh, who dares to dwell with you? Who presumes the privilege of being close to you, living next to you in your shining place of glory? They are passionate. They are wholehearted. They are always sincere. They are always speaking the truth, for their hearts are trustworthy. They refuse to slander or insult others. They'll never listen to gossip or rumors, nor would they ever harm a friend with their words. They will despise evil and evil workers while commending the faithful ones who follow after the truth. They make firm commitments and they follow through, even at great cost to themselves. Let me tell you, a faithful person does what he promises. They swear to their own hurt. If they say they're going to do something, they're going to do it, even if it's not convenient for them to do it. Let me tell you, faithful and loyal people, they don't go around gossiping about other people. They're respectful of their country, of their leaders. They don't go around bad-mouthing people in authority. Loyal people honor their parents. They defend their family. They defend their friends. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, when you're loyal, you stick up for people. If I hear someone talking about you and I know you're a part of a sin church, can I tell you, I'm going to defend you. I'm going to believe the best of you. I'm going to do everything I can to take up for you. That's what a loyal person does. Someone says to me, one of your members tried to run me off the road the other day. I'm sure they didn't mean to. They probably just got distracted. Maybe they were looking for their cell phone or something. No, they were mad. They were honking their horn. They had their hands up in the air. I'm sure they were just worshiping the Lord. You see, when you're loyal, you defend people even to a fault. Someone said, well, Steve, I don't think that's right. Let me tell you, I'd rather be too merciful than too judgmental. And even if they were wrong, even if they did blow it, maybe they were having a bad day. Why don't you give them the benefit of the doubt? After all, you know, if you've never blown it, then go ahead and throw the first stone. But when you're loyal, you stick up for each other. You believe the best in people. Proverbs 11 verse 13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The Living Bible says, a gossip goes around spreading rumors, while a trustworthy, faithful man tries to quiet them. Faithful people don't go around, have you heard the latest? Have you heard this about so-and-so? Faithful people don't do that. Let me tell you, anybody can jump on the old negative, critical, fault-finding bandwagon. That's easy to do. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a fair-weathered friend. Yeah, I'll be with you in the good times, but God bless you. Good luck in the tough times. You're on your own there, man. No, I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. When you're faithful, you'll be with somebody on the mountaintops celebrating their victories, and you'll still be with them in the valley defending their honor, fighting for them. That's what it means to be loyal and to be faithful. Amen? I heard about something that Kevin McHale said. He used to play basketball for the Boston Celtics. And he's a basketball Hall of Fame inductee, and I believe he was the head coach of the Houston Rockets. I'm not sure if he still is right now. But when he was playing at the Boston Celtics, after somebody made a game-winning shot, their coach, Casey Jones, would come over. He would never come over and congratulate the person when they made a great shot. But anytime someone missed a shot, a game-winning shot, or did something that caused the team to lose, he'd be the first person to go and encourage them. And one day Kevin McHale asked the coach, he said, hey, coach, how come you never come over and congratulate us when we do something good, but you're always the first one when we mess up? He said, here's why, Kevin. He says, when you win, You got everybody cheering you on. You got 15,000 people screaming your name, shouting your praises. He said, but when you lose, when you're down, when you've blown it, when you've made mistakes, that's when you need a true friend. And let me tell you, that's the way it is in life. It's easy to cheer people on when they're on the mountaintop. Let me tell you, everybody wants to be your friend when you're on the mountaintop and you're successful, when everything's going their way. But a true loyal friend will be cheering you on when nobody else is around. That's a true loyal friend, family. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 17, a true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. The Passion Bible says a dear friend will love you no matter what. See, that's the kind of people that we should strive to be. True, loyal, faithful friends. We need to let our friends and our family know, man, we're in it for the long haul, that we're going to be by their side, committed to them, through the thick and the thin, praying for them, lifting them up, encouraging them. Because let me tell you, a true friend defends. A true friend restores. A true friend is committed. When someone starts accusing and talking about someone we love, I mean, that's when we should say, hey, wait a minute, that's my friend. That's my neighbor. That's my coworker. That's my pastor. They may have made a mistake, but you better give him a little mercy, because if you mess with them, you're messing with me, man. They may not be perfect, but neither are you. You need to back off, cut them some slack. Defend your family, your friends, your brothers, your sisters. Amen. That's what it means to be loyal and faithful. You stick up for people. If you see a friend, a brother, a sister who's down, instead of talking about them and being critical and judgmental, well, they're just getting what they deserve. No, we're supposed to lift the fallen. We're supposed to restore the broken. The Bible says in Psalm 145, the Lord lifts the fallen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says two are better than one, because if they fall, one will lift his companion. Instead of saying, ah, too bad for you, man. No, we're supposed to go to them and help lift them back up and pour healing oil into their wounds. Amen. Let me ask you today, are you being faithful and loyal to God? Are you being faithful and loyal to your friends? Are you being faithful and loyal to your family? Are you being faithful and loyal to your church? Are you being faithful to your pastor? Do you stick with them through thick and thin? It's so easy when people are down, when people have made mistakes, to be critical and condemn them. But really, that's when our friends need us the most, family. A true friend is going to be by your side when you're hurting, when you've fallen, when you've made mistakes. I want you to know the people in this church, they're on your team. Defend them. Let's stick up for one another. Let's protect one another. Let's love one another. Jesus said the world will know you're my disciples because of the love you have for each other. And the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Thank God for the faithful people in this church. This church is built by faithful people. People we could count on. People who've stuck with us through thick and thin. I'm amazed by how few people are faithful today. I've seen people come to this church, receive Jesus in their life, get saved, start growing in the Word of God. Their lives start changing, start turning around. I meet with them, I counsel with them, I share the Word of God with them, I pray for them. They tell me how grateful they are, how much they love me, how much they love us in church. The next thing I know, poo, they're gone. I can't even get a hold of them. They won't even return my phone call, my text call. You would think when you go out of your way to help people that they would be faithful to you and they would help you. But let me tell you, that's not always the case. Amen. Amen. Lady one time came to me and asked me if I could help her. She had a gum disease and her teeth were kind of all decayed and she was very self-conscious of it. She'd cover her mouth while she was talking to me and she'd been to see a dentist and he wanted to put three caps on her teeth and it was going to cost $1,500. And she asked if I could help her. And I knew she needed a lot more than just three caps in her teeth. So I got hold of one of the best dentists in Palm Beach, through a friend. And I got him to do all her dental work for free. And she didn't just get three cap teeth. She got $10,000 smile. $10,000 worth of dental work. He said he'd only charge her $500 for the materials, nothing for labor or nothing for for his work, and I paid the $500. Now she's got a great smile. Is she still in our church? You'd think she'd be faithful and loyal, right? But you'd be wrong. She left shortly after that. After she got her $10,000 smile, she was gone. Another couple used to live down the street from us. They were having marriage problems. In fact, the wife had moved out. She'd moved out of the house. And the husband came to us in tears. He said, please, can you help me? My wife called his wife, didn't answer, kept on calling, didn't answer, kept calling, leaving messages over and over. Finally, she called her back. And they went and had some coffee. She agreed to meet with Pastor Jill. And Pastor Jill was able to minister to her. She moved back home. Today, they're doing great. Everything's going great. They're so grateful that they joined our church. Are they still here today? No. I don't even know why they left. They never even told me. I could stand here all day and go on and on and on and on with people that I've helped in my life and done things like that, and they're not even gone. That's not being faithful. That's not being loyal. Faithful people are hard to find. Now, someone asked me, Pastor Steve, are you mad? Are you offended? I'm not offended, because everything I do it unto the Lord. Do you understand? I'm not looking for a reward from anybody. If someone comes, someone goes, let me tell you, everything I do, I'm doing it for Him. He's the only one who's going to reward me. Nobody else can reward me, but He's the one who's going to reward. So I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm just teaching you what it means to be faithful compared to being unfaithful. I thank God we have faithful people in this church. People like Carol Budoff, been with us from day one. People like Jerry and Pam, been with us for years. People like Tom and Anna, been with us for years. These are people who've stuck with us. They're friends. They're committed. They're faithful. That's the kind of people that love us all to be, faithful people. Amen. There's a lot of people I could call out who are faithful. Please don't be upset if I didn't call your name out today. There's a lot of people I can call in here, faithful people. I'm just using them. They've been with us a long, long time. But there's other people. Amen. Faithful people are not people who stay with you if you do everything just right. You never let them down. You never offend them. Then they'll stick with you. But the moment you don't perform perfectly, until you make a mistake, you didn't come to my birthday party, then I'm out of here. Let me challenge you again. Be faithful. Because if you will be faithful, God promised you will abound with blessing and favor. Blessings will abound in your life when you're faithful. Amen. God will protect you. God will preserve you. God will promote you. You'll live that life of victory God has for you. I was reading in the book of Judges the other day. It begins right after Joshua died. Joshua took over from Moses, and this begins right after he died. And the Israelites, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua. But when Joshua died, they were not faithful to God. They forsook the Lord. They began worshiping Baal. So God delivered them into the hands of their enemies. The Lord didn't fight for them as He did before. Then God would raise up a judge, a leader, who would bring them back to God, and God would deliver them from their enemies. Then that judge would die, and they'd forsake God again. They'd disobey God, and again they'd be defeated by their enemies. Then they'd cry out to God. He'd deliver them. I mean, this went on for 400 years, this pattern. There are consequences for being unfaithful, and there are rewards and blessings for being faithful. Proverbs 13, verse 15 says, the way of the unfaithful is hard. If you think it's hard to be faithful, let me tell you, it's a lot harder to be unfaithful. Ezekiel chapter 14 said, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. In Ezekiel 39, verse 23, the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hands of their enemies, and they fell by the sword. Why? Because they were unfaithful to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 9, verse 1, Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13, Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, and because he didn't keep the word of the Lord, and because he consulted a medium for guidance. Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Let me tell you, if you want to stand out to God, if you want to abound in blessing, if you want God to preserve you, to protect you, if you want God to use you, if you want God to promote you, then determine that you are going to be faithful no matter what, family, no matter what comes against you, you are going to stay faithful to the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, a faithful person, if you turn over your sermon outline sheet that you're following with today, turn over. There's 15 things there that I want you to write down. A faithful Christian is someone, number one, who, if you want to, Pastor Steve, what does a faithful person look like? What does a faithful Christian do? Number one, a faithful Christian prays every day. A faithful Christian reads their Bible every day. A faithful Christian obeys God faithfully. They avoid temptation. A faithful Christian attends church every Sunday. Going too fast. Can you put them all up on the screen? Can you put them all up there? Put 1, 2, and 3 again. They're trying to write them down. I'm going to start again. A faithful Christian, say it with me. A faithful Christian, say it with me. A faithful Christian prays every day, reads their Bible every day, obeys God faithfully, avoids temptation, attends church every Sunday, and they get it on time. Couldn't say that one, could you? They attend church every Sunday. They get it on time. Even on time change Sundays. All the faithful people are here today. Can I say amen? A faithful person attends connect groups. A faithful person serves faithfully in the house of God. A faithful person tithes faithfully on every dollar. A faithful person brings others to church and disciples them. A faithful person doesn't gossip and talk about other people. A faithful person never quits. A faithful person keeps following Jesus no matter what. A faithful person keeps their promises. They do what they said. A faithful person keeps believing God's word no matter what. A faithful person is loyal. Amen. I believe if you will determine and if you will be faithful to the Lord, I'm telling you, you will abound with blessings. You will be promoted. God will use you in amazing ways. God will protect you. God will fight for you. God will defend you. You'll see God's favor in your life abounding. You'll be rewarded, not just in this life, but in eternity. There are rewards for being faithful. Amen. Do you receive this today? Did you get something out of this today? Say this. Lift your hand to the Lord today. Say, Father, I determine in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be faithful to you no matter what. I'm not a quitter. I'm going to be faithful, loyal, and I thank you, Lord, that I'm abounding in your blessings. Thank you. You protect me, Lord. You'd fight for me. You defend me in the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you're looking at a faithful person right now. You're looking at a faithful person right now. Amen. Do you want to do the offering now or altar call now? All right, go ahead.
I can't wait to do the offering. This is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to be faithful and give. Amen. And you might say, what are you doing with an egg container? And if you ask me what does faithfulness look like, I'll tell you, Miguel, standing at the back, wave, Miguel. Natalie, there she is behind there. Yesterday, when they came to our house for the media barbecue, she gave me this dozen eggs. It's empty. It's in my fridge, but... she gave me this dozen eggs, and I'm like, what's that for? And she said, our chickens just started laying eggs. And we said, we got to bring the first fruits, the tithe of the eggs that we're getting from our chickens. That's what faithfulness looks like, right? They didn't go make a big fat omelet with the first eggs, but they said, we're going to give, but Miguel's like, the tithe's going into the house of God. That's it. And so, you know, Pastor Steve read it earlier, Luke 16, Jesus said, he who's faithful in little, in the least, will be faithful also in the much. He who's unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, which is worldly wealth, is another translation, who will commit to your trust the true riches. So God really wants us. It's actually the basics of being faithful is tithing. It's just 10 cents, he says. He said this. It's not because God needs our money. It's because it's a test of faithfulness. You know, so 10 cents on every dollar, he says, belongs to him. And I heard a quote that says, no church ever has a money problem. It only ever has a faithfulness problem. Because from the beginning, God designed that his work on the earth, missions, the church, all of it would be financed by the faithful giving of his people. God doesn't rain down money out of heaven. He's not a counterfeiter. He's not producing, you know, he's not like just printing dollars like some countries do, right? And just printing new money. But God's not doing that. What he does is he finds faithful people who will give and tithe faithfully week after week, and that enables his work to go forward. Amen? So that means that, like, everything that we do in this church, everything that we do, and we're providing a solid church, a healthy, strong church for the entire family. The kids are being taught right from nursery, being taught the things of God. Every week you can count on that. Why? Because of the faithful giving. That's how anything works. I was going to share with you about some missions today that we support. We support missions in Africa as a church every month, and I don't want to take too much time, but the only way we can do that is because of the faithfulness of God's people. So thank you for your faithfulness to tithe. We have members, and I want to thank you. We have members that are not back in church because of COVID-related issues, because they've got elderly, sickly parents they take care of, what have you. We understand. We miss you. But we thank you for your faithfulness. There's some people we haven't seen in a year, and yet they haven't missed a week of tithing. Is that faithful or is that faithful? Amen. And so we appreciate that. So go ahead, help yourself. There's various ways to give. It comes up on the screen. You can text give. That's one of my favorites. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can go ahead and give here, credit card, debit card, on the envelope. So thank you for doing that. There's a link to those of you watching. Just go to ascendchurch.us and click give online, and we appreciate it. Let's pray over the offering this morning. Father, I thank you that you are faithful to your word. And I thank you, Father, you said that when we are faithful in unrighteous mammon, that you will entrust us with greater riches. So, Father, we put ourselves in a position today and we look to you and we have an expectation of promotion, of increase, of greater things, of more responsibility, of more just opening new doors in our lives. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness towards us in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise God. Yes, thank you for your faithfulness in giving, tithing. That really is the starting place. It really is. Now, although those folks that just completed the Christian Growth Seminar, I now have your certificates ready. I want to ask all of you. I know not everyone's becoming a member. I know that. But I want to ask everyone that did the Christian Growth Seminar, would you just stand up and come up here real quick for me? Even if you're not becoming a member, just come stand up here for me that everyone can see you. These folks just finished our Christian Growth Seminar. It's 4 weeks long. We actually want to start another one for all those that haven't done it. Come stand right up in the front and face that way. And I'm going to ask you, if you're interested in doing our Christian Growth Seminar, please, in your seat back, there's a green card. It says Grow. If you would fill out that card, Grow, you would be registered for the next Christian Growth Seminar. It's a free class that's coming up. I'd like to do one before the summer. So if we have enough people, we'll do another class. We had like 30-something people on this class. Then not everyone is here today. But we are very glad that we are receiving some new members of our church today, because once you finish the Christian Growth Seminar, then you have the opportunity to become an official member of our church. And some of the things you learn on the class, you learn about to understand salvation. We explain salvation. We explain what water baptism is about. We speak about the power of the Holy Spirit, how to pray, how to walk in God's financial blessing, the importance of your spiritual home. There's so many things we go through in the class. Are you all glad that you came and did the Christian Grow seminar? Would you recommend anyone to do this, Bill? Now, Bill, you sent me a text, Bill, and you texted me and throw me my phone up there. You can throw it. There you go. And so let me read your, Bill. I like the text you sent to me. Do you mind if I read it? It says, I'd like to thank you for spending a couple of hours on Wednesday nights with us after long days. Second, I wanted to thank you that it really hit my heart, the fact that God gave us a gift that we are as righteous as Him. And the discussions on holiness and living and conducting our lives in a holy way, I will take away the point in Romans 12, verse 2, to not be conformed to this world, but to focus on the heavenly world. I'll take this with me through the rest of my life. What a challenge to live in this world, but recognize it's not our real destination. So Bill really enjoyed the class, and someone else did too. So I'm going to just give out these certificates. Those are becoming members. Everyone just stay up here. I have for Karen and Rox Roy, also known as Keith, but this says Rox Roy. I did for both of you. Kevin, what did I say? Kevin. Stacy and Mark, they're getting married on the 26th of March. They're going to be getting married. And then, where's Tom? Where's Tom at? Tom? Thomas, we have there. Dimini. We have Kia. Where's Kia? Kia. And Jill is away. We have Joey. Where's Joey? Are you up here, Joey? And Jennifer and Joey. Praise the Lord. And we have Gerard. We have Gerard. And then we have Chad. Where's Chad at? I saw him. Did he leave? Where'd you go, Chad? Aaron and Angie. I have Aaron and Angie here too. Karina, you missed the last night, but we'll get one to you. Joshua, you missed the last night, but you're a member of this church. I consider you a member. I want to tell you, Joshua, right? Wave, Joshua. I'm talking about that man right there. God's done great things in his life. Thank God. He came and asked me, could we use the church on Monday night for our AA meeting? I said, sure. They have 55 people on Monday nights for AA. Come meet here on Monday nights. Amen. And he's one of the leaders. He's one of the leaders in it. So praise God. Gwen, if you missed the last night, that would be why you didn't have this. Did you fill out the membership application? Well, we'll get it to you. We'll sort it out. Leah and Gwen, they watched online. We'll get it to you. You're members of our church. We love you. Don't be mad with me. Be faithful in Jesus' name. Keep on being faithful. Give them a big round of applause. Thank you. This is for Jill and Chad. Hold that for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you are the faithful one, that we can depend on you. We can count on you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're famous for keeping your promises. Oh, Lord, you're not a man that you should lie. If you said it, we know surely you will do it. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be faithful. And we determine today, we hear your word, we receive it, Lord. And we determine that we are going to strive and pursue to be faithful to you, to be loyal to you, to be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus. While you have your heads bowed in prayer, I never ever like to close a service without giving people the opportunity to receive Jesus in their life. If you've never received Jesus in your life, let me ask you, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that. You can be sure about that. You can know that all is right between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, won't you pray for me? I want to make sure that everything is right with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to have God's blessing on my life. Pray for you. Pray for me. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer. Pray for me. I want to make sure all is right with me and God. Just lift your hand and I'll see your hand and I'll include you in this prayer. Just put it up high right now in Jesus' name. All right. Maybe you're watching this online. Listen, if you've never received Jesus in your life, just say this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth. You died for me. You took my sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I repent, Lord. I confess Jesus, you Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. And I thank you, Lord, because I've received you. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm now your child in Jesus' name. God bless you. Listen, we love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Bring someone next Sunday to church. It's going to be awesome next Sunday. We'll see you then. Yeah.